Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Mahomes will throw it in the pocket. He's launching one long. Marquez Valdez Scantling catches the ball at the Raven 30. This game is over, and you can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being the AFC champions.
He kicks the ball high in the air. It ricochets around. George Kittle has got it, and the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. Bet on red. What started in Vegas will end in Vegas. The 49ers are going to Super Bowl 58.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Guys, that was a very WWE-style radio call from the Chiefs radio network.
Why not?
You could deal with it. You have to deal with the Chiefs.
You do have to deal with the Chiefs.
My favorite thing every year is the Chiefs being nobody believed in us. Like, right. Literally, yes. Everyone believes in you. Everyone thinks you're the greatest quarterback ever. Yeah. You're the Super Bowl favorite every year. Yeah. You could not be more believed in.
1,000%.
That's unbelievable. Kelsey got up on the stand last year. It was like, no one believed in us.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Travis?
Everyone believed in you. You're right. It is a little bit
whatever
like,
you need.
Right. It's whatever. You make it up.
It's working.
Like, you know, it's like, do you ever see, I know you did, do you ever see the Last Dance, right? The Jordan, yeah. The Bulls documentary, yeah. Here. I can't believe I'm now the one making an NBA reference.
But
Jordan, like, saying, like, I had a chip on my shoulder, that whole thing, and like, did he ever actually say it? Nah. Yeah. Remember there was that, I forget what it was. It was
in the book, The Jordan Rules, they go into this about how Jordan would, like, basically manifest and create false slides,
right.
Just to like G himself up for games. It's like, but actually, there's nothing actually here, Michael. But right. It was, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's right, yeah, and I took that personal. Well, yeah. But you know, like, yeah, exactly.
You're Michael Jordan.
Right, you're Michael Jordan.
The only people who people don't believe in was MVS. Like, he actually, no one actually believed
that's
in
fair.
MVS.
But right.
As I always say, I say this every year, January is MVS's month. He always delivers. AFC title game last year, it was like his Justin Jefferson. He was Mahomes' only guy, and he did it again. And I look forward to his next act next January.
Yeah.
In a different league, probably.
Yeah.
It had to be a spectacular catch. If it was an easy one, too much time, too much concentration lapse.
Of all the most improbable things that happened this entire weekend, that might have been, you know, to seal the game, Marquez Valdes-Scantling making a crazy over-the-shoulder, wrong-direction catch, deep down the field in traffic is, you know.
Well, that's the genius of Mahomes, because if you picture MVS drops, it's always the same thing where his arms, like, outstretch and just goes through them.
Like,
so Mahomes deliberately underthrew it so that MVS would have more time to catch it. He's a genius.
Yeah. Listen, we'll get to more on that game, and we have obviously plenty of best bets coming your way for the actual Super Bowl before we all leave for Vegas. This is our last studio show,
yes.
Of Season 2 of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. So we made it to the last show
of
Season 2.
We made it, fam. So a couple of things. Number one is, yes, we made it to the end. It is, as you pointed out, it's our last studio show of the year. Honestly, so after the show, we're not doing anything this year. We're not doing anything the rest of this week. And then next week, the three of us will be out in Las Vegas on Radio Row Monday through Friday. Again, live at noon on the Cock. And, of course, available on demand wherever you get your podcasts, NFL on NBC YouTube channel, and, of course, on Peacock. But as a result, and then after that, we're off until the Combine. We'll be broadcasting live from Indianapolis. But the fact of the matter is the last time we're here in the happy hour set for quite some time for this season is today. And as a result, we just want to say that, you know who drinks free today? all of you, the Fantasy Football Happy Hour fans, and not just the fans, those who tolerate us.
Yes, those who tolerate us.
Those who leave us on after the Dan Patrick Show and are too lazy to get up and change the channel. Yes, all of you. You drink free today, so we appreciate you. Those of you on YouTube that are watching Sims Unbutton clips, and then it just automatically populates with us, you know, or Pro Football Talk, and you're too lazy to click out of it.
Yes.
Whatever it is,
all counts the same.
It all counts the same.
Doesn't matter how you got here. It's just that you stay.
Just whether you were too lazy to get out of it. Either way, it all counts the same. All the clicks are the same. We don't judge. We just we do appreciate you very much for sticking with us. And you know what? No one believed in us.
No one
thought we would be here.
It's a mom and pop show.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But now you have to deal with us, and you have to deal with us again next year, because sour news for you out there, for all the haters. But our good friends here at Applebee's has decided to sponsor the show for another year. We have a multi-year contract with Applebee's. So you're stuck with us, America. We're coming back next year.
That contract was actually plus $650 to get renewed after you went on your seventh dollar reader in Philly. I thought you were going to tank the whole show, but it was a great result.
We made it through. Yep. I do. I have to look at the fine print of the details of the contract. I think dollar readers are in there. I hope so.
I was going to say, do dollar readers return? That's the bigger question.
Yes.
The dollar readers are delicious. They go down easy.
Is it a Kyler Murray situation where you can't play video games, you can't drink dollar readers?
You can't drink dollar readers.
You must do the show.
Yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
All right, anyway, we will look ahead.
But no one believed in us.
No.
We're back.
No, we're Jared Goff. Yeah. We're back, right. Baby.
Yes. Redemption.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. All right, well, let's go right there, of course, to the Lions at San Francisco. Brock Purdy, big game for Purdy. Really, second half. It was a tough first half for Brock Purdy. Tough first half for this entire team. Purdy finishes the game 20-31 for 267 yards, a touchdown. He throws the pick. But, guys, it was the fact that he made things happen on the ground, Matthew.
That's what was shocking and annoying, too, for some of us who had 274.5 over on his passing prop. I did not have a good day betting yesterday as well, and so the under on his passing prop hits. But to your point, yes, were there some missed throws in the interception? Yes, of course. And there was another play that should have been intercepted and wasn't, and kind of got lucky with that one where, you know, we'll talk about that play in a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that as you see it here, like he extended plays. Like he extended plays with his legs, huge third downs, huge drives, you know, three different runs, you know, were just sort of like they had him dead to rights, and just out of, you know, this is a third and four play that you see right here, which gets him down into the, like, the 26 or so of the Lions. That was the game right there. It was a huge one as well. And there are also, by the way, give Brock Purdy credit. There were a couple of, like, off-schedule throws where you're just like, oh, like, I saw this online. I completely agree with this. I forget who tweeted this out, but, like, the one play where he's running to his left, and you have to sort of like he throws like this, and he gets Juszczyk on the sideline, and Juszczyk makes a great play, gets both feet down, and they get the first down.
Yeah.
And somebody said basically, if Mahomes did that play, the internet would have melted.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, it's true. Like there were a couple plays like that where you're like, okay, these off schedule plays where Purdy, I thought, played very well.
Yep. He had the one as well to Juwan Jennings where he kind of throws it back across his body into kind of a crowd, which...
That's the play right here that we're talking about here, right?
He had another one deeper down the field to Juszczyk again, too. So, I mean, I thought Purdy, he was very shaky in the first half, and then in the second half, he was magnificent. And Connor, I think the difference was that, and it was a bit of a surprise, but in the first half, the Lions were sending five. They were really collapsing the pocket. And Brock Purdy looked very 6'1", where he looked so small. That's what produced the interception. Just couldn't get over the guys. And then it seemed like the adjustment was just run. If the pocket is collapsing, just run, and that changed the game.
It did. It felt like he became more of a one-read-and-run quarterback in the second half for the better. It was, hey, if our first look, or maybe even second, but most of the time first look isn't open, let me dip the shoulder and get out of here. And the whole middle of the field's open because they're dropping linebackers. The guys there aren't blitzing. They're dropping. Where that you could draw a giant rectangle in the middle of the field. And after the game, Purdy and even George Kittle spoke about that difference of him using his legs. Take a look.
I feel like throughout my life I've scrambled and stuff here and there, but you know, since I've been here, I feel like I haven't done it a whole lot. But obviously tonight, someone there, I was just trying to keep the chains moving, keep the ball moving forward, and then obviously give our team some momentum and some juice.
So those couple scrambles and get 221-yard runs.
Sick.
What's your view of those? What kind of spark does that
do? It more. What are we doing? Just don't get hit. He scampers.
I think that's the best way to describe it. He scampers. Like, you ever seen one of those little water dragons run across the water? Like, that's what I envision every time he's running with the football. And I just thought of that, too. That was not pre-planned. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. And in, but it's just like, he does a really good job of avoiding contact. He dives into areas. He could slide once in a while, probably get a 15-yard penalty, you know. But he's a tough kid, a lot of grit to him. And he understands that, like, when he's playing at a high level, when he needs to play at a high level, everyone around him is better.
Guys, is the most disappointing aspect of the Niners winning that George Kittle's not Radio Row with you guys?
We had him last year. He's amazing. If George Kittle doesn't become a broadcaster when he decides to retire, that'll be that's a loss for America.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Yep. No, he was magnificent. I still, my Twitter profile picture is him putting a man bun in my hair. He's fantastic value. Mr. Kittle. Yeah,
let's hear it for tight ends being underrated broadcasters. Greg Olsen was great yesterday.
Yeah. You
know, phenomenal. Like,
so
he's really good. Not everyone was yesterday, broadcasting wise, but Greg Olsen was terrific. You know, Gronk is now a commentator as well.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, yeah. Who knows what he wants? I guess he wants to be an action star, but whenever Travis Kelce hangs it up, like, he's going to be in front of cameras or microphones.
Yeah, he's a good podcaster right now.
Huge podcaster right now. So. Yeah.
Kittle feels more actor or pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Then in a booth with a suit on.
I feel like you can't. You got to unleash George Kittle. Yes. You got to let that man fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him doing all that.
Like newly
kind of George Kittle hitting brakes on time and stuff. And
No. I mean, whether it's I don't know that I see him in a suit and tie, but like, you know.
Yeah, studio show. Yeah.
Hey, studio, listen, we probably can't afford him, but welcome. Open invitation if he ever wants to join the Happy Hour cast.
Absolutely.
We would love to have him.
Yep.
He'd fit in here.
Yes.
Right. No suit and ties here.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, it wasn't just Kittle and Purdy, though. Of course, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk playing a huge role in this game. Deebo catches 8 of 9 targets, 89 yards. Ayuk, only 3 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown, but it was this one that you see right now, the deflection off the face mask of the defender. The concentration from Ayuk, Matthew, is just ridiculous. And this is a complete game-changing play.
Massively so. There were basically 3 plays within the course of 2 minutes that completely changed how this game goes. Unbelievable game. Ayuk, we thought, would have a good game. 8 targets, 3 for 68. Obviously, a lot of it coming on this. And then, you know, I think the very next play, he cashes in on the touchdown here. But I just want to talk about that for a second. I know this isn't fantasy. We'll just talk football for a second here. The whole time, and I said this is what I said after the Packers 49ers game last week, and it's the same thing where I keep going back to the Dennis Green, you know, they are who I thought we were, and they let him off the hook. We let him off the hook, and they let him off the hook. You know, like, so much debate is about whether or not the Lions should have gone for it on fourth down, all the different fourth downs that they went for and did not convert. Fair enough, I get that. I don't really have an issue with it just because that's how they played all year, and it just seems weird. Again, given how bad the defense played well in the first half, but still you have to figure at some point the 49ers get going, and you think you need enough points. But here's the biggest thing is that the fourth and two, the first fourth and two, the one on the 28 of the Niners in the second half, it worked.
Yep.
The problem is that Josh Valdez-Scantling drops the ball. And, I mean, honestly, like, that hit Josh Reynolds in, like, couldn't have been a more perfect throw.
Yeah.
If you're Dan Campbell, if you're Ben Johnson, if you're the coaching staff, you expect players to make plays. You have to coach that way. That if they get an opportunity to make a play, they're going to make a play. And that hit Josh Reynolds in the hands, and he just dropped it. Right? I mean, like, seriously, Josh Valdez-Scantling. It was just a brutal, brutal drop. And so the very next play, I believe, they go deep to Ayuk. It hits Vildor. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yeah.
It hits Vildor in the, you know,
visor,
in the visor,
yep.
And he should intercept it. I mean, it's like it's right there, and he doesn't intercept it. But if he doesn't intercept it, at least knock it down,
exactly.
Knock it away,
yep.
And he doesn't, right? And so it's a fluke play, and Ayuk heads up play, obviously, to catch it, and then get touchdown at the 5. So credit to Ayuk, but still, it's not a play that should have happened. Like, if Vildor makes a play, if he does what a defensive back should do, which is either knock that down or, better yet, even catch the ball, we're not having this conversation, but he doesn't. And so then they score, and then the play after that, Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles.
Yeah.
That's on first and down.
Total
and
turning point.
And so those 3 plays, 3 guys, Reynolds, Vildor, and
Gibbs
all don't perform. They all, like, make horrible plays, and they – 14 points in whatever, 2 minutes, Niners right back in it.
Yep.
And it felt like that was the game.
There's so many crazy plays. Everyone is focused on the Ayuk play because it just visually looks so insane. In terms of win probability and shifting during the game, the Gibbs fumble, that was the play. Because at that point, they still have a touchdown. Niners haven't been able to stop you all day. And then all of a sudden, the Niners are just in position to score and tie the game immediately. So we look at the win probability from Next Gen Stats, which the Lions, their probability peaked at 90.4% with 8:29 left in the third quarter. That's when they're up 24-10 with possession, and then it quickly flipped.
They're up two touchdowns with 8:29 left in the third quarter. They have a 90% win probability, and they just lose it. Betting-wise, Jay, if you could go back in time, what was the best moment in time to bet the Niners?
So it was that when they got out of the half, the Niners take a field goal, and then the Lions are just marching down the field, and they get first down in Niners territory around the drive ends at the 28, but just short of there. And at that point, I believe the Lions in the market are like -850. Like, you're -850 to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then it all falls apart after that. And to me, to your point, Matthew, it's like the Shane Steichen 4th-and-1 call where Minshew goes to Tyler Goodson. It's the right call. It's just the play didn't work. Minshew makes a bad throw. Goods comes off Goodson's hands. Same thing again. To me, the only things to criticize Dan Campbell on, and these are, like, overall, he's done an amazing job. Yeah. I think he mostly made the right decisions. One, if you're going to go for it on fourth down in the third and fourth quarters, why didn't you go for it before the end of the first half? Because it's the same situation. What's changing in your mindset there? And then secondly, to call the run on third down at the end of the game, that was the really bad decision, which cost them. Because that's fine. If you want to run it, that's fine. Just do it on fourth down. Call the pass play on third down, just in terms of the clock and the management. That had to be a pass.
Yeah, had to save the three timeouts. Yeah, because otherwise, use the timeouts earlier then. Because the two timeouts did you no good at the end of the game.
Useful.
It was a complete loss of usefulness of the timeouts. Either use them all earlier, stop the clock, and give you guys more time, you know, on the back end.
Yes.
Right? Or at least, or save them all so that you could at least force a punt, you know, after you scored that touchdown. But, like, the run was just mind-boggling to me. And I don't know if that was a Ben Johnson call or if it was Dan Campbell approved or whatever, but that one was a killer. We'll talk more about Dan Campbell, but let's hear from him about the going for it on fourth down. He addressed that after the game.
Really good about us converting and getting our momentum and not letting them play long ball. You know, they were bleeding the clock out. That's what they do. And I wanted to get the upper hand back, you know, and it's easy hindsight, and I get it, you know. I get that. But I don't regret those decisions, and that's hard. You know, it's hard because, you know, we didn't come through. It wasn't able to work out. But I don't. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man. But, you know, we just didn't work out.
So that was Dan Campbell's perspective. Jared Goff also had this to say on the Lions' decision-making. I don't know what the numbers are, but we had a lot of big-time conversions this year that changed games, and I don't know what we were today. I know we had the two we didn't convert. It can change a game if you convert them, and we didn't, and that's part of the reason why we lost.
All right. You know, again, you also expect players to make plays. By the way, they don't get to that other fourth down if Josh Reynolds catches a ball
right,
on third down.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, once again, hit him, drops. I mean, like, Josh Reynolds just – I tweeted this out. Josh Reynolds picked a bad week to have his worst game of his career.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Tough one for Josh Reynolds. Tough for me, who gave us my best bet as Josh Reynolds over 34.5, which he would have gotten if he just caught those two balls, I think. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult with Campbell. I mean, look, I think it's the right call. And on the first play, Bosa beats his man, forces Goff to scramble a bit, which makes the throw just slightly off to the point where it is a more difficult catch for Reynolds, even if he should have it. And then on the second one, look, I thought Steve Wilks had a really bad game yesterday overall. Yeah. The defense was a mess. But on the second fourth down, which effectively won them the game, they do a really smart thing where Gibbs goes in motion, Dre Greenlaw follows him, which makes Goff think that it's man coverage, and then Greenlaw drops into zone, Lions run mesh, nothing open, and all of a sudden that's your game, because now all of a sudden Jared Goff's on the move and he's got to create something, and that's not what you want Jared Goff to do. So they just made the clutch plays at the right time. And look, as someone who is I have a Niners ticket to win the Super Bowl. I was very happy with how that all went. I think they have a very good case to be the best team in football. I've never seen a team in a big game get so many lucky breaks in such a short period of time. Like, to get all of those things. Their win probability was 7 minutes left in the third quarter, was 10%. 4 minutes later, the game was tied. Like, when you have a 10% win probability, you're thinking you're probably going to take the lead or tie it towards the end of the game. It took them 4 minutes because of all these plays that just went their way. It was insane. I mean, it's brutal for Lions fans.
I feel awful, awful for Lions fans. They should have won again. They let them off the hook easily again. You know, just Josh Reynolds should probably delete his social media if he hasn't already. But the other thing is I will say this. I felt like Campbell got somewhat outcoached in the second half. They were running the ball so effectively, and then they weren't able to, right? And I know that's Ben Johnson, right? But I mean, like, I felt like they went away from the run game. To your point, I mean, I think the tight end usage was brutal. I think calling the run play on third down, that was bad. It felt like they made a lot of mistakes, and that the 49ers changed, and that the Lions just didn't have an answer.
Yep. I mean, it's partially that. Partially, it's like the Niners are just the better team, and it manifested. They're the more talented team. There's a reason they were 7-point favorites in the game, and you always knew they were going to make that run. But when you're 17 points down, you need lucky breaks, and they got the lucky breaks with the bounce off of Vildor and then the Jahmyr Gibbs fumble, and that was really the game. Those two plays just entirely flipped it.
And I think you brought up a really good point, Matthew, that we saw relayed on the graphic. Third downs were the issue in the second half that put them in those fourth downs. They were 5-7 on third down in the first half.
They were great.
Cruising.
That was I said something like that on Twitter as well, whereas I said, or X, whatever. But I said, like, around halftime, I said, assuming this holds, but, like, whatever. They were up 24-7 or something like that. You know, I'm like, it's whatever time. They're up two touchdowns, at least two scores at the time. I said, assuming this holds, so much of the conversation is going to be around Brock Purdy, who didn't have a great first half. I said, but honestly, the Niners' inability to get off the field on third down is what's killing them, because they converted third down after third down after third down, third and 15, third and 18, third and 10. Like, the Lions kept converting these great third downs in the first half, and in the second half, they couldn't.
Yep. To me, what is kind of most instructive as we look forward to the Super Bowl, Connor, is that the Niners' defense was so horrific in the first half. Even the second half, like, they got by on these individual plays. The Lions were still moving the ball with ease. And you look at the names. This Niners defense was the best in football last year. Most of the names are the same. Like, how did this team just get so gashed?
I think when you look at it, you know, obviously respect to Steve Wilks and everything, but he came over there and was running a different scheme than what he did. When you go to the San Francisco 49ers, this is what we do. Yep. Robert Saleh, DeMeco Ryans, and now Wilks. They do the same thing, right? They have the personnel there. A lot of it doesn't change. And the adjustments, I think, have not been as smooth as Saleh and DeMeco, who obviously, I think, coached a better defense. So, and I think it's difficult to have Chase Young out there against the run. The Lions took advantage of that. He's truly just a pass rusher. It doesn't seem like they have the same level of corner play, and they still got to the Super Bowl. It's actually that amazing. But you have to wonder, like, is the clock going to finally strike in this Super Bowl because of that?
If they're dropping into these soft zone coverages against Mahomes, he's going to absolutely destroy them. In a way, like, it's going to get lost because they lost it. I thought Jared Goff was very good yesterday.
Excellent.
He was good enough for them to win the game, and that'll get washed away a little bit, but Mahomes is a different level, and he's going to dice them up unless they change something.
Laporta was great as well. Led Lions in receptions, receiving yards in the conference championship. Clearly, you know, I don't know if he was 100% healthy, but certainly looked it, especially against a very good Niners defense. They've been traditionally very good against tight ends as well. And the weird part is, in the second half, my ride or die, Sun God, Amon-Ra gets four targets. Four targets in the second half, including zero in the third quarter. You're like, it's your best player, man. Like,
that's when it fell apart, too.
That's when it fell apart. You know, it, overall, a great year for future Commanders head coach Ben Johnson, but tough second half for him and for the Lions offense. But I agree with you on Jared Goff. I think that will get lost in the narrative. It's like, Goff played a game outdoors against that defense. He played very well. And give credit, by the way, give credit to Ben Johnson on this and the offensive line. Like, he, for the most part, was kept clean. And when he was, again, if you keep Jared Goff clean, he's very good.
All right, let's move over to the AFC Championship. The Chiefs somehow do it again. They beat the Ravens in a game where Mahomes drops back 39 times. He completes 30 passes, 241 yards, and a touchdown. He had 6 carries for 15 yards. We got to hear from Mahomes on going to the fourth Super Bowl and how he does not take these moments for granted.
No, you don't take it for granted either. You never know how many you're going to get to, if you're going to get to any. And so it truly is special. Just to do it with these guys after what we've been through all season long, guys coming together, it really is special. But I told them, I mean, the job's not done. I mean, our job now is to prepare ourselves to play a good football team in the Super Bowl and try to get that ring.
And a benefit of Mahomes' big day, of course, is Travis Kelce has saved his best for the postseason here, Jay. I mean, targeted 16 times. He catches 11, 116 yards, and another touchdown for Kelce in the postseason. And in this game, he passed Jerry Rice's postseason receptions record, which is absolutely absurd.
Yep. No, he is magnificent and certainly plays into the idea that, you know, he's kind of the regular season, just probably not as important to these guys. Extra rest, he's come out, and he's just looked like the old Travis Kelce. I think the most impressive thing is that, like, he wasn't doing this against scrubs. He was doing this against the best defense right. in the NFL, and he was doing it against Kyle Hamilton, who might be the best safety in the game. I mean, he was magnificent. And
Hamilton had a bad game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Kelce definitely got him. He won that matchup. And, I mean, I think it's getting a little bit lost because they won the game, and we'll get into Lamar, who wasn't very good, but Chiefs got four first downs in the second half. Like, they could not do anything on offense in the second half, but that first half of just Mahomes going Super Saiyan mode and Kelce being awesome, that was enough for them to win the game.
A couple things here. First off, you're 100% right on Kelce. And it's just, it's nice to see the play. What happens in the playoffs sometimes is just these unsung heroes.
Yes.
Guys that never get any pub suddenly have a moment in the spotlight. So it's
Mahomes.
Nice. Travis Kelce, finally people realize, oh, hey, where's this guy been? Yeah. You know, it's nice to see this guy get some publicity and people talk to him. No, jokes aside, like, whatever. Kelce was Kelce. He was brilliant. You know, the touchdown throw and catch, as you're going to see it right here for those of you watching on the cock, get to see. Oh, that's not that play. But here you go. These are just Kelce highlights. That was a great catch. I believe that was a third down conversion. I believe this is the touchdown right here. There you go. Back shoulder throw. Just unbelievable.
What is that?
Travis Kelce. So this is great. I mean, right, one-on-one on Hamilton. Really well defended, and just I don't know how you defend that. There's nothing you can do. That's just Kelce and Mahomes haven't played together forever. This is Mahomes extending the play. Like,
that's
just
absurd.
This was an absurd play as well, and Kelce somehow coming up with a catch there as well. So his most receiving yards in a game this week since week 7. Eighth career postseason game with over 100 receiving yards. That's tied for the most games in NFL history with Jerry Rice in terms of most postseason games with over 100 yards. It's just ridiculous, and it's like he was a known quantity. Like, I mean, you know, like when you're the defensive coordinator and you're like, all right, when you're Mike McDonald, you're like, all right, let's figure out how to stop the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You're probably starting with 87, pretty high up there on the list. And so credit to him.
The problem is, though, is that so on the game finishing play to the great MVS is that they doubled Kelce on that play.
Right.
It was like they doubled him. They took him out of the play. But then Mahomes is just so good that, all right, whoever is the go-to guy, I'm not going to force it into Kelce, and he gets it to MVS. I think the other quiet story from this game on the Chiefs side, because no one else really did that much, is that they gave Isaiah Pacheco 24 carries, and he only got 68 yards, and a lot of focus on how the Ravens running backs only got 6 carries between them. Not sure the Chiefs should have been running Isaiah Pacheco 24 times when they averaged 2.8 yards per carry, but they did enough in the end to win it.
So I did an interview earlier this morning where they were asking me my sort of reaction on this, and this is what I said on that show as well, which is they asked me about Andy Reid, my thoughts on Andy Reid and the job he did. And the question was, and I thought this was a really interesting question, was has Andy Reid done his best coaching job ever with this crew? And I think you can make an argument for it, right? Because Andy Reid offenses traditionally, especially in the Mahomes era, has been like, we're just going to air it out. I don't care how many points you put up, we're putting up more. You know what I mean? And what he has done, what he's realized over the course of this year is like, this ain't that team. He's just like, you know what? So we're going to play good defense, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to try to grind out victories, which is insane to think about on a team that still has Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but that's what they did against Baltimore. They grinded out a victory. To your point, like they had 4 first downs in the first half. Like, for the brilliance of Mahomes and Kelce, right? They were both brilliant yesterday. The fact of the matter is they won this game because of Steve Spagnuolo and that defense.
Yes.
Like, it was unbelievable how good that defense played. They made Lamar the MVP.
Yeah.
And the consensus and unanimous MVP that no one's just like, ah, really? We're giving it to that guy? Like, everyone's just like, Lamar's the MVP. Yeah. And they made him look awful. They made him look like he was the of the four quarterbacks that played yesterday, he was the worst one by far.
Yeah, no question. It was like he got the Brock Purdy's Ghost of Christmas Night came to haunt Lamar Jackson. I thought that he just looked rattled. He looked like he didn't have time. He didn't really know what he was doing at times. And just two plays in particular, and they were the two plays that really sunk the Ravens. One, awful strip sack in the first half, just didn't feel the pressure at all. And then the interception to Isaiah Likely into triple coverage, where as soon as he let that go, it's like they were trying to, every drive in the second half, it was like they were trying to score 10 points every drive.
Right.
And it's like, guys, you have the best defense in football. Kansas City can't do anything at the moment on offense. It's okay. Just kind of calms, lowered heart rates, and just the mistakes from Lamar and Zay Flowers ended their season.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Lamar, he drops to 2-4 in the postseason now, and we obviously got to hear disappointment from him after losing the AFC Championship. Listen in.
Well, I'm not frustrated at all. I'm angry about, you know, losing. We're a game away from the Super Bowl. We've been waiting all this time, all these moments for an opportunity like this, and we fell. But I feel like our team, we're going to build. You know, this offseason, we're going to get better, grind, and try to be in this position again, but on the other side of victory. I mean, we mad, but like, I understand, you know, coach gonna give a speech, you know, that's his job, but we mad, you know, we got to this position, one game away from the Super Bowl that we all, what I've been talking about, my team been talking about all season, we fell short. And like I said, offense, we didn't put nothing on the board. We scored once. That's not like us, you know. We drove the ball down the field, that's cool, but we got to put points on the board. But I feel like my team just angry, you know. Not frustrated, we're just angry because we know how hard we worked to get here.
And obviously frustrated Lamar Jackson, as we show here, Matthew, the offensive struggles from this team against the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah, by the way, 1-for-6 on third down, just 7 yards. He took 2 sacks. If there's a quarterback in the NFL that should literally never take a sack, it's Lamar Jackson. Like, he should have been more Brock Purdy-like. Like, dude, you're faster than everyone on the field, right? You know? Unless Tyreek Hill suddenly starts playing defense, you're faster than everyone you'll ever face. And so, like, you should have an internal clock that's different than other quarterbacks, which is, like, maybe it's a half second sooner. But, like, if you feel pressure, take off and run, especially yesterday when it just wasn't working as well. You mentioned the strip sack. That for all the criticism that Jordan Love got for his cross-the-body throw for the interception that ended the game against the Niners, which was a bad throw and a bad decision. Lamar's throw into the end zone. Again, you have a backup tight end who's triple covered.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
And like, they could have gotten bailed out by pass interference. You likely got pushed out of the way before the ball got there. But, like, I mean, this is just bad, man. Like, by the way, Isaiah Likely calling for the ball in triple coverage, too. Like, dude.
He didn't have a step on either defender.
Dude. Like, that was – I love Isaiah Likely, but even I'm
that
like,
was a rough one.
Dude.
Yeah. I mean, to be – like, we're so outcome-based where, like, Lamar had the same awful throw when he gets Houston the first drive of the second half. Just Jalen Petrie just dropped it in the end zone. Yeah. And then Lamar goes on and has an awesome day. But, I mean, it was tough. But I think the big problem for the Ravens is – and this was what we thought their problem might be going into the season – is that it took until week 20 – but they finally had to play a game from behind. And when Lamar has to just drop back and pass, it's like, all right, well, who's he going to? Zay Flowers, who's a rookie. Odell Beckham, who was completely unsighted the first half of the game. And then all of a sudden, he's getting targeted every play in the third and fourth quarter. Justice Hill on screen pass. This was their offense when they had to throw. And when the run game was removed, they just didn't have the talent. And Lamar didn't play well enough.
Todd Monken had a bad game.
He had a bad game. He had his Josh Reynolds. Like, oh, this is not the time for this. He did. There's no way around it.
Gus Edwards is, I'll tell you, like, I took, because, as I, you know, this is what we do, right? I mean, like, you sort of look at the game, you figure out the matchup, and here's how I think this plays out, and here's how I think if I was coaching the Ravens, this is how I would attack them. And so, like, I took one of my bets that I took, and I took this all over the place. I took it as an individual bet. I took alt lines. I took part of parlays. Gus Edwards over. I was just like, they should, given how good the secondary of the Chiefs is and how much the Chiefs have generally struggled against the run. The Bills ran all over them last week, I should say. Like, this is going to be a Gus Edwards game. I think Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. I took Gus Edwards with 41.5, I think was his line. I took an alt line at 50. I took an alt line at 60. I took anytime touchdown. Gus Edwards' first rush goes for 15 yards. I was like, there we go. Here we go. Let's go. We're going to catch this in the first half.
Put your feet up on the ottoman. You're like, this is going to be great.
He doesn't get another carry until the second half.
Yeah.
Goes for 1 yard. He ultimately finishes with 3 rushes for 20 yards. Which, by the way, if you divide that up, 3 for 20, it's a pretty good average. Yeah. His fewest number of carries in a game this entire year. He had the same rushing line in the 2020 divisional round loss to the Titans, where he had 3 for 20. What are we doing? The game at no point, they were down one score the entire game. Like, at worst, like, it's not like they were ever out of it. Like oh boy, we just got to throw because we're down three scores. 17-9, the final score was 17-9.
It was like they didn't realize how dominant their defense was playing in that. And also, like, as bad as San Francisco's run defense was yesterday, like, over the course of the whole season, the Chiefs have a worse run defense.
Yes.
And this was the best rushing offense in football going up against that matchup. And it just seemed like they never leveraged it. It was almost like they were so spooked from the first half of how well Mahomes played that, like, we need to score every single... Right. We need to get seven every single drive to keep up with him, not realizing that, well, the Chiefs literally didn't score in the second half. So.
They got away from their identity. It's like the, you know, aura of Mahomes out there. They looked across, go, we have to drop back and be this explosive pass team rather than controlling the football and grinding out the game.
Yep.
It wasn't away from them.
But they, you know, they say Flowers with a fumble and then the taunting call pushed him back and like...
Tough day for Zay.
Tough day for Zay. Tough day for Isaiah Likely. Tough day for Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson, whose narrative of being able to, you know... not be able to get through on the playoffs didn't work. Do we have that graphic we were talking about? Do we have a graphic comparing Lamar Jackson to Brock Purdy? We don't?
All right.
We were talking about it. We were talking about doing a... Anyway, just whatever. We don't have the graphic. It's the last show of the season. Whatever. Who cares? But Steven's already out to lunch. He's already at a beach but with his swaguars. But
a beach in Brooklyn.
Beach in Brooklyn. Yeah, exactly. But I just, you know, I don't know. Lamar, the highest, I think he's the highest paid quarterback, right? He makes more per year than Mahomes at this point?
Well, that's a good question, depending on the structure. I would imagine he's up there.
He's up, anyway, whatever. One of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, the presumptive MVP, was by far the worst quarterback on Sunday of the four that were in the championship games.
Agreed.
Let's take a look at the final updated bracket as we, you know, obviously look at how things shook out.
Yes.
All the way from the
so much for the logo conspiracy. Like, you know, like it just goes to show. It just goes to show, you know, whatever conspiracy you have about the logo and the fix being in, nothing trumps Taylor Swift.
No.
You cannot they put
Swift?
The logo out before the before T Swift and Kelsey became a thing. That's the thing I'm probably most looking forward to this Super Bowl. We'll talk more about.
No, let's do that. What are you looking forward to?
Well, yeah, okay. So I'll get into a real NFL one first, but just while I'm here, I'll just say like the conversation around Taylor Swift, and you guys know. Listen, I'm a Swiftie. Like, my daughters love her. I'm in. I saw her in concert this summer. My first column of the season, my preseason love-hate, all about seeing a Taylor Swift concert, first time I ever saw her. I'm in. I'm a fan. Like, I think she's terrific. I think she's a terrific role model for young women as the father of two 12-year-old daughters. I'm a big Taylor Swift fan as a person, a businesswoman, and a musician. But I love the idea of how angry... So half the people are like, we're sick of Taylor Swift. Now we're going to see two straight weeks of Taylor Swift. They've already calculated she's doing a show like the night before the Super Bowl in Tokyo. No. She's got and like, can she get there on a private jet?
Yes.
And will she get there? And police escort to the game and the whole thing. And will like everyone's going to – she's taken away from the team. She's causing them too much. Oh, no, she's a good luck charm. They shouldn't be in the Super Bowl. She got there. She's pointing at Andy Reid. She's kissing Travis Kelce on the field. Oh, she's best friends with Brittany Mahomes. Like, the whole, like, just everyone's going to be so angry. The pro Swifty crew will be fighting with the anti Taylor Swift contingent, and it's going to be 2 weeks of madness debating this person who is not a part of the team.
Yeah. I'll back her in to get there from Tokyo. -500.
Yeah, I think they'll find a way. Yeah, they'll find a way for this one. Jay, what are you looking forward to?
So, a little bit of a strange one, but just Kyle Shanahan's performance in the Super Bowl. Shanahan has not been great in these playoffs, so he's really shaky in the Green Bay game particularly. It seems like in all these big games against Detroit, against Green Bay, Baltimore, even the Philadelphia game, just early in the game they just don't seem to have any answers, and then they slowly figure it out outside of the Baltimore game. So can we just get a good game plan that works from the start, Kyle, this time? Yeah. Do we have to always just make halftime adjustments? We just figure it out from the get-go. So, I mean, this is his legacy is on the line because he has not had, you know, his best moments on the biggest stage. So huge game for Kyle Shanahan.
For me, I can't wait to see who's going to be the unlikely hero or if there's an unsung hero. Think about some of the guys in previous Super Bowls. David Tyree, of course, Tracy Porter.
Malcolm Smith.
Right. You're right.
The Seahawks.
Of course. Like, who is going to be a player that an average NFL fan has not heard their name all year, and they have a game-altering, for a better or worse, play in this game?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yes. Well, we talk about him almost every week on this
show.
Could
be. But, like you could see Dre Greenlaw doing something, you know, like this.
Will Kadarius Toney get redemption?
Oh,
I don't think he'll be active.
I think he's actually going to Tokyo.
Exactly. I think you're talking about UFL superstar. Kadarius Toney, healthy scratch. Kadarius Toney will be his name for the Super Bowl, is my prediction here. I'm looking forward to Brock Purdy. So going into the game against the primetime game against the Ravens, we were like, this is the MVP matchup. He was the two of them were co-favorites for MVP going into that game. And we were like, if he beats Lamar Jackson on this national stage, on Sunday Night Football, everything like that, then Brock Purdy is your MVP. And he got completely outplayed. He played his worst game of the year. Lamar Jackson was brilliant. I was like, all right, well, Lamar's the MVP. And I was just like, Brock Purdy, I don't know. And, you know, then the narrative of this, you know, coming into the divisional round, you've got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and, like, all these guys that are great. And then and Lamar Jackson and then Brock Purdy, right? And he wasn't great against the Packers. He put it together for one drive. But then, you know what? Again, he played he made some really good off-schedule throws yesterday, the three scrambles that keep the drives alive. So now he's got a chance. He's going against Patrick Mahomes, who is the greatest quarterback of our era. And if you compare Mahomes to Brady at this stage of their careers, like, he's right there. So, like, Mahomes is going to end up as either LeBron or Jordan compared to Brady, right? And so he's got a chance to go head-to-head with Mahomes. And you talk about legacy games. If Brock Purdy goes out and outplays Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, then all bets are off. Then every question is answered. So a real potential it doesn't matter what Mahomes does. His legacy is already cemented, right? He's already one of the greatest of all time. But Brock Purdy has a chance.
Big game for Brock.
We're taking our first break. When we're back, who's eating good? Of course, served by Applebee's. We're looking at some early lines for 2025 Super Bowl contenders.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
The stage is set for the big game. If you're looking for a little more insight into betting it, check out Jay and Drew Dinzik on Bet the Edge. New episodes are continuing to drop every weekday throughout the playoffs at 6 a.m. Eastern. So get your day started with Jay and Drew. Whether you're targeting spreads and totals, circling player props, or looking for value in futures markets, they'll have you covered.
I do like how it is Jay and Drew Dinzik, as though either my last name is Dinzik as well, or I'm like Neymar, the Brazilian soccer player, with just one name.
Yeah, either or. Yeah. But I'd always assume that, it was just we were being very, very egotistical towards you. Yeah, that you are, you know, you're Madonna.
People watching know. They know
you don't need you don't need. But I do like the idea that maybe it is Jay and Drew Dinzik. Maybe you guys are a married couple.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yes.
Married, aligned on the props and such.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's eating good served by Applebee's as we show you the 2025 Super Bowl champion odds here, Jay? Is there any value in this early, way too early market?
Okay, I have two bets for us, gentlemen. One favorite and one long shot. The favorite, Kansas City Chiefs plus 750. They're in the AFC title game every single year, literally, of the Mahomes era. Team should just be plus 500 to win the Super Bowl every year. They have the highest floor of any team in the league because they have, for my mind, the most talented quarterback ever. So that would be my bet among the favorites. And it's a long shot. They didn't even make that screen, but the Cleveland Browns are 35-1. They're the best defense, or second best defense in football this season. And I still haven't forgotten, the last we saw of Deshaun Watson, He's gone 14 for 14 in the second half on the road in Baltimore with a fractured shoulder and a high ankle sprain. I still think there is upside. I still think the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, is in there somewhere. And if they get that version of him to go with an elite defense, I think that team has a lot of upside.
Matthew, what about you?
Just very quickly, look, I mean, I'll take the Ravens at plus 900 just because, again, they're the, you know, the Ravens, and like Lamar's going to figure it out. They've got Lamar in a contract. It's a bunch of young players, as well as Zay Flowers as a star. But just a couple of long shots. I'll say the Chargers at plus 2,500. Again, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, there's a lot of talent on that team, and Harbaugh is a winner. They'll have a low draft pick as well. And, of course, my Commanders at, I think it's plus a million. But, you know.
It's actually, you can just have whatever amount of money you want. Yeah. You just message DraftKings.
If they win the Super Bowl, you put a dollar.
There's some talent there, you know, head coach Ben Johnson.
Yeah, maybe Drake May's the next CJ Stroud.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
Who knows?
Here we go.
I'll take a long shot as well with Green Bay, plus 2,000. Yeah. Jordan, Jordan Love was awesome this year. Yeah. I mean, especially the second half of the year. He's only going to get better. The real reason I'm on this, though, is they moved on from Joe Barry, their defensive coordinator. The defense will be better. Jordan Love will be better. The Packers.
It's run by a bunch of young players as well.
And LaFleur's a great coach.
Yes.
I mean, we could say it now. LaFleur's a great coach. Yeah. All right, we'll take one more break here. When we're back, it's time for Last Call. We are looking at the opening lines for the Super Bowl, and we'll bring you our best bets right after this.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and for Super Bowl 58, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours.
It is time for Last Call. Let's take a look at the early Super Bowl odds. Jay, are you leaning on a side yet?
I am. I think I'm going against both of you guys. I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. I think Brock Purdy showed everything we needed to see in the second half. And it's more the fact that Kansas City, their offense struggled so much in the second half against Baltimore. And I get the Ravens have the best defense in football. But it's also, I just can't shake how bad they looked on Christmas Day against the Raiders, how bad they looked against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Like, I just don't think this offense is fixed. And I think that the Niners just have a higher ceiling. I think the Niners just have more talent, and with the two-week gap, I think that that plays to the greater talent.
One thing I do have confidence in is the Chiefs' first half money line, which is minus 110. I just think you give the Chiefs this amount of time to construct their first half offense. They'll come out. And here's the thing. The Niners' defense in the first half in the playoffs has looked dreadful far. So I like Chiefs' money line at least for first half.
They haven't stopped the run all year. Assuming Isaiah Pacheco is healthy, I think Pacheco runs all over. I think that, by the way, Andy Reid off of a bye, this is a true stat. Andy Reid off of a bye is 803-2. I don't know what the action number is.
It's close.
Seriousness, in the playoffs with Mahomes under center, he's 4-1 in the playoffs with a bye. Like, when you give Andy Reid extra time and he's going to have 2 weeks to prepare, like, Andy Reid off of a bye is just like it's death taxes, Andy Reid off of a bye. And then also, I think we're overthinking this. It's Patrick Mahomes against Brock Purdy.
Do you think
advantage
Purdy?
Yes, yes. Give me the Chiefs plus one. I think the Chiefs money line as well, but Chiefs plus one. I'll take that.
I believe in you, Brock.
Yeah,
I believe in you.
I believe he exists.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
There is a good chance he just implodes. We'll see.
That's the thing. The Chiefs defense is so good.
Yes.
All right. Matthew, how are we?
No, I'm terrible is how I'm doing. And thank God I drink free because I maxed out my credit card drinking last night. I'm still drunk. I'm so upset. You know, they say you can't drink your problems away, but I'm going to try. Damn it.
Matthew, how do you project Lockett through the rest of the way? By the way, he has your Commanders at some point on the schedule as well. So that there could be some positive trending upward for him there.
I project 275 yards and 4 touchdowns for Tyler Lockett against my Commanders. The expectation there is that they'll put Emmanuel Forbes on him to just get burned left and right and right and right and right and right.
Somebody that'll get some run over the next few weeks. DeMarcado is a guy, by the way, on the 1-year anniversary of our night in Buffalo, I appreciate you using the word frisky.
I know you don't remember a lot of that night, or you claim not to, but look, it meant a lot to me.
Hola, and welcome in to the desk of this.
You guys, no. Danny, I see you are in the Halloween spirit. How are we doing on this Friday?
I am. I have my my Peanuts shirt on. My kids saw this shirt today and they go, "What's that?" And I said, "Excuse me? What do you mean, what's that? This is Charlie Brown Halloween. What's your issue?"
I believe the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
right.
They never heard of it. The kids are hopeless. I failed as a parent.
To be fair, they're literally your kids.
What? They're literally your kids, Danny.
I know. So yeah, I think the takeaway here is you're a bad father. I think
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm tilting over it.
Connor is actually alive and thriving among the living.
Yes.
Nominated for an Emmy today. That's why he's not here.
To be clear, not for his work on this show.
That's correct.
Yeah, to be clear.
That's coming, though.
Right, yeah, sure it is.
It's me, Luigi.
Okay,
I'm a Luigi.
Get used to this.
I'm a company of man.
Yes.
The Super Mario Brothers, a bigger hit for Universal.
A fantasy life,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
That's
absolutely
me.
When you asked him, and Connor was just like, he's a competent backup. I like that you looked directly at Jay when you said that. Thank you very much.
He asked the question, I gave the answer.
But you looked right at Jay.
There are lots of similarities between me and Jake Brown.
You are very calm. You've been in the system for a while.
Yeah. Matthew's out today. Fire up Jay. They will do whatever we tell them to do.
100%.
I love you.
By hook or by crook, Garrett Wilson has been able to get at least 17 fantasy points in 4 of the past 6 weeks.
Firstly, great usage of by hook or by crook. That's the first one in a while. Me and Connor enjoyed that one.
Have you never heard that phrase?
No,
prior
I have.
To me,
I've heard it plenty of times.
Right.
But yeah.
Just from old people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Precisely. From the Joe Flaccos of the world. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm older than Joe Flacco. What's going on here?
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, Javon Holland, just quickly.
The issue is you have a youthful appearance to you, Lawrence. I look old as dirt.
Javon Holland.
The issue is like you and I might be the same age. I just look old as dirt. And you have a youthful appearance to you. It's very upsetting. I've decreed, I have ruled, I have declared that I will be a benevolent leader. I will rule fairly and justly. And so that is what I've done today with the Peacockies.
Why do you look like a Dalmatian?
Let's see who took home. The very proud Peacocky. Look at you. Look at these. By the way, look at what's going on here with this. I don't think this
You're
is a regulation outfit.
Way.
All right, there we go. Fair enough. All right. Fine. I don't know what that was.
Right.
Should I call HR? Did I just get hit by a peacock?
I never caught the "you look like a Dalmatian" live on the show. I was so focused on the awards.
Yeah.
That was a true gem, Jay.
Yeah. I will say this, one of the secrets to enjoying this show is you have to listen closely because Jay gets off these one-liners
under his breath.
Under the breath, kind of just under the radar here. Very brilliant, very well done, very, very Australian, if you will. But I think what that that shows you right there, we have no fun at all on this show.
Yes, never. We dread coming into the studio.
Believe it or not, as disastrous of a show as this is, there are a lot of people that work very hard to make this look semi-professional. I don't make it easy, but we want to thank our coordinating producers, Matt Casey, Daniel Cranon, Alexa Merrima, our producers, alternate producer Adam Wise, backup producer Pete Domelatis, Stephen D'Agostino, our main producer, and
of course,
the Stata Pillar himself, Damian Dabrowski, my main guy, our producers, Blake Friedman and Chris Wilson on research and editorial do a great job for us. Stupid Dev.
Yes.
We love Dev, actually.
Love Dev.
Dev does a great job with our graphics. He's actually a graphics producer along with Kelsey Bartels. Our tape producers, Dan Carcamo, Jason Gold, Jenna Morelio, Joe Brooking, James Castelluccio,
and of course the brilliant Trisha Good. Poor Trisha.
Yes.
It's a battle every day trying to get me to do
she gets a lot.
To get a mic check from me as well. Tom Popple, Kevin Brady, Bill Scammon, Ken Corbin helping us out here in the studio. They are operators, of course, as well. EJ Gentle and Gentile, I should say, and Victor Perez are editors as well. Connor Rogers, Jay Croucher, Denny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, and all of you, thank you so much for an unbelievable, amazing year of Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I have no idea why you watch or why they let us do the show, but thank you so much. Much love to all of you and everyone at Peacock and NBC Sports. We'll see you next week.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.